Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to PD Radio. Every Tuesday, bringing you real talk.
That's right.
Music, interviews, and much more. PD Radio.
Spotlight on. I'll pump me. Damn, you know. Don't you know you're out on front street? I'll pump me.
Hello, hello, XOXO. Welcome to another night of great guests and a great show with PD Radio. You all know me, your host, Miss PD, and my right-hand co-host who makes this show tick, Mr. Black. What's going on in your neck of the studio, Black?
Hey, I'm chilling right now. I know it's going to be a crazy show. We got some great individuals, great panel tonight, and I'm just in the moment right now, so we're going to get it on tonight.
I'm super excited about tonight. Tonight is going to be an amazing, informative show because tonight we are going to have a PD roundtable discussion on relationships, community support, and the upcoming presidential election. So, we going in. Our prestigious panel tonight consists of authors and community activists, Mr. Al King, whose latest book is Let It Be Known, Mr. GPA, which stands for Greatest Poet Alive, author of The Book of 24 Orgasms and The Mind of the Poetic Unsub. And last but not least, we will be joined by the lovely soft-spoken poet and author of Sweet Mangoes, Miss Cotton. All intelligent, creative individuals, respectively, who have a lot to offer to tonight's subjects, and we are excited to have them join us in just a minute. So call us up right now, people, because it's about to go down. 646-478-3599. And don't forget, press 1 to speak with us. Now, before we bring our panel in, Black, I have to quickly do my celebrity birthdays because, you know, that's my newest thing. That's what I do. So,
all right.
Let's get it popping with that. All right. First up on the roster, we have reggae pop singer Shaggy. It wasn't me. Remember that song? He's 44 this week. Oh, yeah. Actor Ryan Reynolds of The Green Lantern is 36. Weird Al Yankovic, 53. Martin Luther King III, 55. We have CNN commentator Nancy Grace, 53. That's, who else do we have? We have rapper Drake, 25. R&B songstress Monica, 31. Singer Ciara, 26. Hillary Clinton, 64. Actress legend Ruby Dee, 87. And last but not least, we have the pretty woman herself, Julia Roberts, who is 44 this week. Happy birthday to all you guys. We wish you many, many more from PD Radio. And this is for you.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, happy birthday.
I know they love the PD
birthday song.
PD love that you put out every week. So
that's that PD love.
Oh, yeah.
You know it. That's how we do. So I'm so excited. So how about we bring in our guest panel tonight? I think we just lost one though, Black.
Oh, that's not good. But we're gonna get it together.
But we're going to bring in our first panel who is here. He's ready to go. We introduce you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, GPA, the greatest poet alive.
What's good, people?
GPA. What's going on?
Hello. How are you tonight?
Oh, my goodness, man. Oh, wow. I got no words to describe how I'm feeling personally, and it also coincides with why my partner is in here presently. But I want to, first of all, talk about anything with me. I want to thank you guys for having myself and my partner, if she gets out of her audition.
Okay.
Soon enough.
I'm excited to hear about that.
Then she'll join us. But otherwise, I'm carrying Team GPA today. It's going to be a hard job because I do it with my partner, but I'm going to carry it today. But thank you all for having us as a part of this.
Well, we thank you for being a part of the show tonight. But before we go any further, GPA, we want to bring in our next guest panel speaker of the night. We're going to bring in Mr. Al King. Hello, Al.
Oh, hello, all. Blessings, all. Blessings.
Peace, peace, brother. Peace.
Thank you for joining us tonight, Al. We have our other guest panel speaker on the line, GPA, which stands for the greatest poet alive. So you guys, we're waiting for one more. All right. We're waiting for one more. We're waiting for GPA's. Yeah, we're waiting for GPA's partner, Cotton, if she can make it tonight.
You know what? I'm sorry. Let me just jump in.
We're going to go ahead. She can chime in when she has time.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. All right, so GPA, let the listeners know where you're from.
Southside, Chi-Town all day. Go Bears, baby. You know how it is. You know what I'm saying? 773.
Right. You better tell them. Mr. Al King, let the listeners know where you are from.
I am from the Bronx, New York, New York City. New York City, New York City.
New York, New York. You better tell them. You better tell them. All right, guys. Yes, 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 yes. So, you guys, are you ready to go in tonight?
No doubt. Let's do it.
I'm ready.
I don't know. I don't hear the enthusiasm
coming
through the airwaves right now.
My fire is lit. I'm ignited. I'm charged up. I'm ready to go.
Now, before we get started, if you're out there, you're listening. I know you're listening. Call in because you can be a part of the panel on this. This is open to everybody. We're gonna open this up.
Yes.
Now, we're gonna do this real presidential style tonight. So, just to let the panel know, when the questions come out, we're gonna come raw with it. We're gonna ask some crazy stuff because me and Miss PD.
I ain't scared of you, motherfucker.
We're not scared tonight.
We ain't scared of you.
Come with it. We're going to come
that's
with
right.
it. So,
it's no hold barred tonight, fellas.
That's right. That's right. So we're going to break down the rules real quick of engagement.
Uh-oh.
And hear the rules right here, how we're going to get down tonight, because we're doing it official.
Tonight's 90 minutes will be about domestic issues and will follow a format designed by the commission. There will be six roughly 15-minute segments with two-minute answers for the first question, then open discussion for the remainder of each segment. Thousands of people offered suggestions on segment subjects or questions via the internet and other means, but I made the final selections, and for the record, they were not submitted for approval to the commission or the candidates.
That's right. So now, you guys ready?
Black, you crazy.
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Go ahead, Ms. PD. Go ahead, fire it up.
All right, so we're going to talk about a few things tonight, guys. We're going to start out, we're going to talk about relationships. Al, I know you want to talk about community support and the presidential election. So we're going to talk about those three things tonight, you know, first up, and then we'll just go wherever the night leads us. Whatever comes up, we'll discuss it. But we're going to start off tonight's show about relationships. Now, the first question that I want to ask that I want you guys to give your thoughts on is, what do you think about love today? Is love the main factor in relationships today, or do you think it's kind of being overshadowed by couples getting together for status? I want to hear your thoughts on that.
Let me just jump right in and tell you, we are out of the love, romantic, chivalrous era, because those individuals who are gentlemen, and I'm just going to speak from a male's perspective and then bring the circumference around, those individuals who are gentlemen are looked at like pariah. You open a woman's doors, she might tell you, I can do that. You want to help with some bags or something like that? You see a sister, she got four or five bags. And you want to help with that. She's looking at you like you just want to jump in her pants or something like that. And that's because they become desensitized to being a gentleman. But that goes to overall, no one's really concerned about that because MTV and the media have shown you cribs and rides, rims, diamonds, black cars. Not that anything's wrong with having good credit, but everything is material now. So you're a decent guy. You're a decent woman. You believe in God. It's just me. You believe in God. You got good values. You're attractive or what have you. That's not enough. You need to have be papered up, blinged up, carded up, or whatever, or you don't have a fighting chance. I believe that's what the basis is. And then it's just happenstance if two people happen to have some sort of affinity or affection for each other. But it's material. As I spoke about this before, everything moves too fast, too. And besides material, everything is sexual. Not sensual, but sexual. And there's a huge difference. Everything is okay. They're showing asses in your face on TV. So young men are automatically like, that's what they see. They forget trying to have a conversation with a woman. That's what they see. They show men as eye candy. They show the dudes, the pretty dudes. You know what I'm saying? They show the pretty dudes with the six-pack and all that. That's what they show you. And you're not getting to know who a brother is. So it's sexual. So everything is now physical. So now you got the two things which lead to our base instincts. You got physical and you got material. And all the inside stuff. Things are ignored, so there's no way it can be love. That's not the focus.
I agree with that. Al King, I want you to chime in on that, please.
Yeah, he has some good points, though. I certainly concur with where he went with it. You know, I would definitely say that it's more about light than love, you know, living in a microwavable era. So, and just like Brother GPA just stated, you know, people are speeding. I think that layers are not being manifested. So people are moving without substance, you know. Materially, I don't know too much because the economy is so raggedy and twisted, you know. People don't have the material tangibles to offer. So, you know, it's just a lot of layers that are actually not being manifested, I will say again. And people are just moving without any kind of accountability. You know, it's reckless behavior. You know, there are connections being made without any substance. People are in like. They're falling in like and not in love. So
that's
you know,
what it is.
Killing, it's killing the whole concept. It's killing the whole entire concept of love, you know. And when you do hear love, it's makeshift. It's not real. It's not organic. You know, it's something that may sound good or may be fitting for that particular moment. So that's my stance on relationships. You know, I could go. I don't want to get too long with it, but I'm gonna pass the ball.
I
agree,
said,
and the word love is thrown around so easily today. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. We also have on the line. We have a female that's going to chime in with us tonight, Miss Valencia. Valencia, hello.
Hello.
How are you, darling?
Hello, you know,
you're welcome.
Had to even this out. I'm great.
That's right, V. You got to represent for the ladies, my darling. Represent. So the first question we threw out today, V, and I already know the question that you want to talk about, but the first one we threw out today is love the main factor in relationships today, or is it being overshadowed by status? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think that love is the main focus today. I think everybody's just jumping into relationships really just to be in them. So they, you know, and it is being overshadowed by materialistic things because, you know, now we're getting together for what somebody can do for us. If females, you know, we want that love, but I really don't think a lot of people understand what, especially females, understand what love really is, you know. So, yeah, I think it's being overshadowed by everything else. I don't think people are together for really just the love. I think people are together for what another person can do for them.
That's exactly what it is, and that's how I feel, too, today about love. I think it's the same way. I think people get together. That's why I said for status, because they want to get with someone who can, you know, do whatever they can do for them. And I think love has been pushed to the side. It's more about, you know, the status is more about things and what you can do for me versus completely like falling in love with someone, you know, and letting that be the main focus of the relationship, you know.
I don't know what's scary about that.
I mean, it happens. That's the way it is.
But let me
tell
you what's scary about that.
You know,
Go ahead. I cut you off. Go ahead.
No, I don't know. You know, I'm going to just play devil advocate on it. I just think that a lot of women need to force men to be a little bit more about that paper and stepping into a position of providing. I think that a lot of women are out here moving, you know, with minimum expectations. You know, I see something different, though, where I don't see women that are looking for men,
on both sides.
You know what I'm saying, with material items, you know what I'm saying, with tangible items that's going to take care of them. They moving, and, you know, they getting a lot, you're getting a lot of things out of women, you know, as a man, for nothing these days, for really nothing.
That's true.
And I see it from a lot of seasoned women that would know better. So they moving, you know, they moving a little different from my vantage point, what I'm seeing. I think that women should be about the paper, you know, and not to sound so superficial, where they should force the men to step up and you know, splurge on them or whatever the case may be. So I don't see a material driven movement right now. I don't see it, though. That's just where I'm coming from.
Okay.
GPA?
Well, you know, in Chi-Town, you know, it's one of the places I've been to New York. I love the city. Love performing there. It's just that in order for certain things to, when you go through a period of time, and I still believe, as right as King may be about some of it, it's still aspects of the material. Because you know what? And I go by the media, and the media is like a form of art and reflects our society. So if you take a look, Cribs is still playing. And I know he spoke about the recession before. Strip clubs, the lottery, and casinos did not stop or close. I still believe that you should have went a step further, King, when you said sisters should hold, I said sisters because, you know, I'm black, but sisters should hold brothers accountable as far as materialism, as far as money, getting the paper. I agree, but then it just shouldn't be that one-fourth of the circle. It should be the entire circle. Sisters should hold men accountable for being gentlemen, for being fathers, for the whole gamut. You know what I'm saying? And then when they find that dude who does that, then don't defecate on him. You know, don't give him, don't run him in the ring because you've been with Dick Dastardly before. Give him a fair shake. So I think that the whole circle should be, because, and this is going to shock some people, it is, on the surface, it's a man's world. On the surface. But it's not. It's a woman's world. Eve bit the apple first. Eve has higher knowledge.
You're not going to shock me.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's the enlightened who really know, who are in the know. But I'm just gonna say this situation, this scenario real quick, and then I'm gonna stop. In order to call a woman as a man, in order to call a woman, she has to give you her number. In order to go out with a woman, she has to say, okay, yes, I'll go out with you. In order to do anything that you want to do with a woman as a man to a woman, there has to be some allowance. In order for you to be able to walk through a house or whatever the case may be, stay over, because some sisters will tell you after they've done their business, get going, or whatever the case may be, or that you don't want them around their kids or something like that, there has to be some allowance. You know what I'm saying? What's the old saying that says a woman knows what she wants to do with you in the first 5 minutes? Well, we dudes, we got animal-based instincts. We see big butts, breasts, pretty face, or whatever. A lot of us, you know, our first instincts are ding, like the wolf in Tom and Jerry. We go bing, but the woman is dictating the pace. But the problem is she has given up the dictating of the pace and now started chasing like Wile E. Coyote, and that's wrong in the Matrix. That's totally incorrect.
Yeah, roles have certainly been reversed, though, in our day and time, though. So you have men wearing the pants, per se, and the men wearing the spandex. You know, I certainly commend you on what you just provided with the input.
You went there, Al. You went
there.
That's what's wrong. Men wearing pants these days. They wearing spandex. You know, men wearing the pants. But, you know, everything in the world passes through a woman. Literally.
Yes. Yes.
All right. Yes.
Valencia,
all right.
Come on now. We need a woman's perspective on this now. How do you, where do you see that concept? Because I totally agree that women control all the cards. When you look at it, they control the cards. Nothing goes down unless they let it go down. So how do you feel about
that? I agree with that women do hold all the cards. But I think that women have, how do I want to put this, lowered their expectations and
their reason on how to get a man. So, you know, with all the stuff going
that's
on today,
true.
They feel like they got to put themselves out there. Yeah, I don't think they understand that they hold all the cards. So they feel like they got to, you know, a lot of men, women don't know how to be submissive in the sense of, you know,
well,
not necessarily doing everything for
great
a man,
point.
But knowing when to just, you know, basically shut up, you know, and
the F word.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And at the same time, while we should have those expectations from a man should have the same expectations from a woman. Should nobody get with somebody if they're not on their level? If you are, as the phrase goes, if you are a dime, don't be sitting there trying to date somebody that's a dollar. Because you can't bring that same thing to the table. I'm not going to go out here and find a man that's the CEO of a company and all I'm doing is working at a factory, you know, because I can't bring the same thing to the table. I would want somebody that can bring the same thing to that when we grow together. And I don't think that's what people are looking at for somebody that they can grow with. They want somebody that, oh, I'm with an older man and he knows the business with whatever. Well, she allows that man to take over their life. So it's
mm-hmm.
not there no more to search for somebody that I can grow with and that somebody that, you know, can lead me right instead, you know. It's true. It's a materialistic thing because we're looking at things of I need a man that can take care of me and do for my kid instead of just looking at it as the real concept of what can I do for him at the same time that he can do for me. You know, it's a 50-50 thing, and instead of everybody just trying to see what a man can do for them, yeah, it's not about independence. It's about, you know, want somebody to help you grow with that, and I don't think that's in relationships anymore.
It really isn't.
That's my standpoint on it.
Here's the scary thing about what you just said. The bulk of what you said, hey, I'm co-signing. I'm co-signing your loan. The portion in there where you said, if you work in a factory and a gentleman is a CEO, here's what's dangerous about that thinking. It almost goes back to forming a caste system, whereas these group of people here don't mix with these group of people here for those particular reasons. I think that's the one factor that should be taken maybe not out of it, but that should be minimized. Like you have the pie where you cut the slices and this is a percentage, this is a percentage. I think that should be like one of the smaller percentages. And it should be, hey, like me, if you are a devil worshiper or atheist, I can't really mess with you because I believe in God. If you are trifling or a bad mother or something like that, I can't do you because I've raised my daughter, you know what I'm saying, who's about to graduate from college. I believe in parenting, you know what I'm saying, being a parent. I believe those things might take precedence over, you know, so much so the material. I think money comes and goes, and we've seen that. We've seen people we've seen people lose money. We've seen people get money stolen from them, closed down, et cetera. I think the intrinsic value is those things that can't have a dollar sign put on them. I think those are really important. You know what I'm saying?
And I completely agree with that. But I think where people, my thing is, though, people get lost in being comfortable where they're at. That's what I mean by I can't be a factory worker and you're CEO, and I'm comfortable still being a factory worker. I mean, if I'm not going nowhere, I don't expect somebody to want to be with me. If I'm comfortable where I'm at, I'm always going to look for somebody that can want to grow.
You just proved my point because that wasn't paper that you were talking about. That was ambition. So ambition,
right.
You're right. So somebody's just sitting there like, hey, I wrote that today. I said, I can't remember the thing. I said, you're always supposed to want to be, want to do, and have the best because contentment is the gateway to mediocrity. So that's another value. You can't put a dollar sign on that, you know?
Right.
And the thing
I just want to say this.
For a second.
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. No, go ahead, Al.
I was gonna say though, the main objective and understanding of it is for to want the same thing at the same exact time. When there's an imbalance, and one is looking for love and one is just looking for life, it's not going to work. It's totally not going to work. That's why a lot of relationships fail, because the concept of the relationship, it differs between the two. Again, mm-hmm. one is looking for love and the other one is content with just liking the person. Has no intentions on this amounting to love. People are not even thinking that far emotionally. They're caught up in the moment. I call them moment investors. They're fine with living in the moment and having a good time with someone. You know, and the meaning and the whole purpose behind dating someone and courting them is so that it can surmount to a relationship and furthermore into a marriage.
Mm.
But we're stuck on life. Mm. Just having a little bit of fun. Playing around.
So one point that I would like to make real quick is that one thing I don't believe is that, like Valencia, you said, if the guy, you know, is the CEO of company and maybe the woman is working at the at a factory, they're not compatible. That's not necessarily so. Only because, yeah, maybe she's working at a factory. Maybe she has, you know, dreams of what she wants to do, but maybe she doesn't have the backing to do it, or maybe she hasn't had the support to really push herself. And her coming, you know, in line with this man, you know, who is ambitious and who knows about business, he may just be the push that she needs to get where she needs to go, and together they can grow that way. But I don't think just because he's up here, you know, and she's down there, that it can't necessarily work. You just, you know, I just think that people meet, you know, at the right time when they're supposed to, or maybe when they're not supposed to. I think him being in a higher position than she is economically, he can support her and uplift her to a higher place that she wants to be anyway. She just hasn't had that backing or that love or that support to say, you know, baby, you can do this. I'm going to help you, you know. And we can grow, we can do this together, and we can grow that way. So I just want to say that I don't necessarily agree that, you know, just because one is up and one is down, they're not necessarily compatible. So we're going to flip it a little bit. And I want to ask you guys this question, and we're going to answer it, you know, briefly, because we have a lot of stuff we want to cover tonight. What is the real beauty of love to you? GPA, we'll start with you.
Wow.
Start from the top.
Wow, did you just ask the poet like that right out of the
Yes, I did.
We
had three poets on the panel tonight.
That's what's up. Poets rock, baby. Poetry rock.
That's right.
The real beauty of love is the us against the world mentality that it fosters. The fact that I can go out here, she can go out here, and each one of us are battling in our own way, and I say battling, it may sound extreme to some, but anybody who knows working or what have you or on the grind as an artist, it's a grind. So some days, I sold a bunch of books. Some days I didn't. I mean, we got one off. So to come home and have somebody say, hey, how'd it go? Great job today. No matter which I sold, and vice versa. There's nothing like that. There's nothing like having somebody with you. Not, okay, we're in a relationship with you. With you.
Right.
I got you. You even got beat up a little bit out there, or you shining out there. You see, because here's the difficult part. When you shining out there and you come back to your person has to be able to bring you back down without demeaning you, and only somebody who's with you can do that. You know what I'm saying? Even you out, so you can go back out the next day doing your same thing. That's the beauty of love. That person who's with you, who's rolling with you, not ride or die, because I don't want you to die, baby. But rolling with you, us, everybody. That's all.
Okay, I can respect that. Al, what are your thoughts on that?
I think it's for me, it's an unconditional union. And similar to what GPA is saying, what he just said, just an unconditional union, someone that's going to be there regardless. You know, I've been in relationships where when things got a little rough, things got a little patchy, you know, short-term memory kicked in. And, you know, the pressure you know, was on me, you know. So it was, it became a situation where, you know, whatever I did in the past didn't even matter. It was no longer prevalent because it wasn't present. So I think that the beauty behind real love, real beauty of love, is just having and just being in an unconditional union, you know. So no matter what, if it gets rough, you know, it's bitter, it's sweet, it's good. You know, the relationship, and you know, it's durable. It's going to stand, you know, whatever weather, you know, that comes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my stance.
Okay.
That's my right.
Take. Yeah.
Okay, I respect that. All right, Ms. V. Valencia, what do you got
Well, I'm just speechless because I have to agree with both of them. Because,
okay.
I mean, the beauty of love is the intimacy of it, knowing that you got somebody that when you're down, they're down too, and they're trying to, and they're lifting you up. When you hurt, they're hurt too. And the beauty of being in love with somebody is knowing that no matter what, that person's with you just to be with you. You know, love is just being in love with a person, not for who they are, what they got, how they do things, none of that. Like, you could just look at them and that's it. You know, that they complete you in such a way that if they were to leave you, it would really feel like a piece of you would be gone. And I think being in love is probably the greatest gift that a person can feel, you know, and not everybody understands or really feels that to the magnitude that it's supposed to be felt. So I think when it comes down to being in love, like you've gained so much, you know, and it's not something that can be shared with everybody. It's not something that you're going to feel with everybody. It's unique.
Right.
It's picky in the sense of nobody else can feel that. You know, it doesn't matter how many relationships you wind up being in. When you find that love, nobody else is going to be able to replace that in the sense that you felt for them. Not that you're not going to be in love again, but it's just the intimacy of it is just unique. Can't nobody else feel that.
I do agree. I definitely agree. All right. You guys gave some good points on that. I love it.
Thank you.
But, we're gonna, you know, flip it again on you, Valencia. It's all about you right now, V.
All right.
you know where I'm going already.
Yeah.
Now, you said on Twitter, you asked the question. You said, is it cheating if you don't get caught?
Right.
All right. now, since you brought up the question, V, you get the first stab at this. So here you go. V, is it cheating if you don't get caught? Tell us, V.
It just depends on how you look at cheating.
I'm going into it.
Hold on. I honestly and truly have seen so much quote-unquote cheating going on that if you don't get caught, who knows about it, so it didn't happen. So it's not cheating. Not in the sense of everybody knows about it. So, no, it didn't happen. If don't nobody know, it didn't happen. So it's not cheating.
V, I'm surprised to hear this from a woman, though.
But it's the truth, though.
Al,
women cheat.
Al?
Yes.
Al, chime in. What did you respond to that when I told you on Twitter? What did you say?
I said, if you rob a bank and you don't get caught, you're still a thief.
Guilty.
Oh, man.
If nobody knows
that you robbed the bank, you can easily just say you came into a lot of money or lottery, hit the lottery.
Wow.
Oh,
but the act is still there, though, V. It doesn't matter if you get caught or not. The act is there.
Al, you said that
before. That's crazy what she said, though. So, Valencia, your conscience is exempt from this?
That's exactly what I was about to say.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Uh-oh.
I think I'm going to be on blast like that.
Wow. Thank you for pulling that out.
To answer your question, my conscience is not exempt for that, but I don't cheat.
So where did it come from, V?
The question came from, I've noticed a lot of couples, they could both be cheating, but if the male or the female get caught, it's a big deal for the other person. They make a very big deal about, even if they are cheating themselves, they make a big deal about the other person who got caught cheating. And I just found that interesting.
Women say this.
Right. And I'm a woman, and I'm sitting here like,
I just found it interesting that, okay, let's say a woman. If a man gets caught cheating, we make this big deal about it, regardless that we might have cheated ourselves. But we make a big deal about it because you got caught. So it's on Front Street, so I'm making a big deal about it. So it's cheating because you got caught. You don't know that I cheated, so as far as you know, I didn't cheat.
Nah.
Killing me.
I gotta pull in on that one because I think your soul and how you, you know, everything you feel about yourself and how you carry yourself throughout your life, your soul is your witness. And if you cheated, the witness is there. So you're already guilty. You just haven't fessed up to the crime, but you're still guilty.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So
the act is still there,
think,
whether you're caught or
it's
not.
It's still there. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hey, you know, like Al said, you know, if you rob a bank but you don't get caught, it still doesn't take away from the fact that you robbed the bank. You're still a thief. You took something that did not belong to you. You're still a thief. So whether you're caught or not, the act is there. So, yes, it matters, you know. I have a two-part question, guys, I want to get into quickly. Then we're going to move on to the next segment. All right, we're going to stay, you know, on this line. I want to know, is emotional cheating the same as having an affair? And also, do you think couples can survive infidelity?
Wow.
GPS.
Wow, she needs to come back to the camp.
Emotional cheating.
Any sort of cheating is wrong. But I'll be really honest with you. I think emotional cheating might be right at the top of the list of the worst out of the categories of cheating. Because because now your heart is swerved. Your thoughts have swerved. Your heart is like the physical, and I'm not condoning it. But I've been there, so I can speak on it candidly. When your physical goes one way, and you do that, and you can come on back home. You can be like, all
right, right,
that was that, I'm done. But when your mental, you sit next to your person, and your mental is not on your person, it's somewhere else. Your heart is not for that person, it's somewhere else. That's heinous. That's like, okay, that person don't even, you almost could, like, forget this person even exists.
Right.
You got a bond or vows with them and go over them to this other person. So that's like right up there. And then in part two of your question, it is extremely difficult to survive infidelity on either side because you always sit here and think, if a text message doesn't get answered as soon as it should, you think it should, are they somewhere? If a phone call doesn't get returned, the phone doesn't get answered, are they somewhere? If they aren't, if something misses, you know, they don't show up on time. So you know what I'm saying? It's lingering. I mean, it lingers there. So it's extremely, extremely. It's almost like the Buffalo Bills winning the Super Bowl this year. It's extremely difficult.
Not the Buffalo.
Yeah, I went there. So.
All right, Al. What are your thoughts?
I think emotions control the physical. So, you know, once there's an emotional connection and an investment, it's over. You know, you definitely in. So, to me, that would probably be of equal action as well as the physical. So, if you're emotionally connected, you know, to another person outside of the person that you're with, you know, the physical is right behind it. It's right behind it.
Yep.
That's my take on it.
That's true.
True. Good stuff. All right, Ms. V, what's up?
Well, I have to kind of disagree because I don't think physical and emotional thing, I think those are two different things. Now, I do think that emotional cheating is probably the worst that you can do because, as I said, you have that person has really lost you because the emotion that you feel towards a person can't be, you know, retained versus I can, as he said, I can physically come home to you every day, but if my mind is not there, then I'm wasting my time and you're wasting yours because there's nothing you can do to regain that. And as far as the, can relationships be back the way they were after you, you know, the infidelity, it's gone. It's always going to be a thing of, you know, especially if I didn't do anything to make that person go cheat, then there's nothing I can do to prevent them from cheating. So can they bounce back? Not in the same sense that they were before because the trust is always going to be thin. I don't care if you go to counseling, a couples retreat, it's always going to be in the back of your mind of what are they doing? How are they, who are they with? You know, I don't think that they can bounce back as strong as they were once were, you know. So in the sense of should you give them up after infidelity? No, but it just depends on your stance points of how you're going to go about it because it's hard for people to let go, you know. So you're going to always, you know, they can leave the milk out on the counter and it'll turn into a big thing. Oh, so is this what you did last time? This is the reason why you cheated, you know. And it has nothing to do with one or the other, but because I think that's just emotionally scars somebody, you know, and that scar doesn't go away.
Cheating is a tough cookie.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, do you think if a person, you know, cheats, you know, they had a moment of weakness and they made a mistake and they cheated, you know, it was a one-time thing, you know, and they're doing all that they can to let their partner know, like, yes, I messed up. I did this. I'm so sorry. And they go out of their way to make amends
well
for what they did.
It's never the same.
So not even one time? So you just say, okay. Okay.
You have a moment, you have a moment of weakness.
I think it's never the same.
I have to agree.
Okay.
You have a moment of weakness, but if they did nothing to, you know, push you there or you just fell short, who's to say you're not going to have that again? It's going to be, you can't gain that piece of trust back, especially if they've done nothing to push you to have that moment of weakness. That just means that, oh, now I'm going to be worried about if you're alone with a person, are you going to have another moment of weakness?
Mm-hmm.
So,
it's
you know what,
that
no argument
for
me.
So deep.
Right. And that brings me to a good...
It's traumatic. The only time that I see that the relationship can bounce back, marriage can bounce back from infidelity, is when both partners cheated at the same time. And then they both have to deal with therapeutic process together. Now, one person cheating on the other one, and the other one is sitting there on the trenches, they're devastated. They're destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
If they're both dealing with it at the same time, she cheated on me and I cheated on her, it seems to be that might sound kind of weird, but it seems to be some kind of hope in that kind of equation because they share the same action. But when one gets beat up,
they never
get over it.
I have to ask this. So does that mean that if a woman or if the man cheats, does that mean that gives the other person a free pass to go do the same thing so they could be on the same level?
Good question.
That's what a lot of people think.
That's what a lot of people think, but it doesn't warrant a free pass at all. You know, that's only making it worse. But a lot of people do it. They certainly do it. You know, and it's therapeutic for them. It makes them feel like they got their cookies off. Because humans are naturally vengeful. You know, hurt people want to hurt people. So, you know what? I got cheated on. You put
That's
me through
true.
This. I want you to feel what I felt.
Right.
And I'm going to put you through it. It's just a disgusting process. It's just messy. It's ugly. I had this conversation the other day with someone, and I said, you know, 5, 10, 15 minutes, it's just not worth it to put your spouse through it. To be the inflictor of pain, you don't have to endure the pain, but to be the inflictor of it and put somebody else through it, it's not good. It's disgusting. And it's a
thing
that's never, It's never healed.
I got a question to follow up on, just to kind of build on this right here. How important, I want to go down the list, how important,
quickly,
faced with something like this, is faith to a relationship or some type of spiritual connection where you guys, where two people can fight through something like this and come back on top? Like, how important? Because there's a lot of people who don't have any faith in their relationship and or don't go to church or whatever, however you want to call it. And, you know, they're just out there. So,
that's why I didn't want
to have to start all over. You know what I wanted to add?
Right.
If a couple doesn't, you know, go through an infidelity issue, they have to completely move. They have to move. They have to change locations. You really have to start from scratch.
Right.
You have to get rid of all remnants, all residue, you know, just have to start from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
That's my take. I mean, that has to be done.
Yeah, you have to make that fresh break. I agree with that. GPA?
A different element. Just get away.
I think I was. I didn't mean to jump. Sorry about that, King. I didn't mean to jump in on you minutes ago. But I think it was really important what you said about moving. Once you have to move and get away from everything, especially like with this social network stuff. I mean, a lot of the infidelity occurs,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying that's the fault. It's social network's fault. It's just a vehicle, but it's a vehicle that does. You know, it's a wide open highway to opportunities to do so. So that made a lot of sense what he's saying. But in regard to your question, faith changes the ball game totally. Faith,
right.
People going to church, people believing in God, I mean, staunchly believing in God, that changes the whole dynamic because as believers, you're taught that we are imperfect, there are transgressions to forgive, and then the marriage has a higher value.
Right.
In people who have faith. It's not whimsical. So the whole thing is divorce is like the very last resort, like pushing a button
right.
for a missile. It's a very last resort, and you're supposed to resolve that between the two people and God. So that changes things. So, yeah, we need more of that.
Gotcha. Yes, sir.
Good stuff. All right. We ending this segment right here. Because we can go on for 2 hours about this.
You're right.
We're going to end this segment right here. All right. We are going to move into our next segment of the night. And that is, Mr. Al King, this is something that you really wanted to speak on tonight. It's about community support, lack of it. And I want to ask the question, you guys, what do you think is the underlying problem with getting support from community, family, and friends when it comes to business and the Black community? Al, I'm going to start with you this time because this was your question that you wanted to talk about. So,
I think the main thing is that people are so selfish and self-absorbed, and they're so. And another point that they're so concerned about how someone else is going to benefit more than them. So I think that when it comes to support, it has to be an unconditional act. It shouldn't be something that's conditional, and people are so caught up in, I'm not going to support them because you know what, they might be driving a better car than me, they might be getting a little bit more money than me, you know what, I don't want to buy that book, he ain't talking about nothing I want to talk about, but they know damn well they want to read the book, and they want to know what's in they want to absorb the content. So, again, I just think it's about people being so self-absorbed, so selfish, being non-harmonic, and full of a whole bunch of dislike, you know, and self-dislike and self-hate. And it's killing our communities, you know, at a rapid rate. You know, being an author and putting out a project, you know, and I mentioned this when I was on your show and you interviewed me, most of my support has come from the people that I don't personally know. The people that I don't have strong ties with, which is
I
very troubling. You know, I know a lot of people. You know, I'm from the Bronx. I'm from New York City. I've been well received. There's some days that I sit back and I say to myself, what did I do to people to treat me with so much dissension and a level of rejection, you know, for the people that you personally know? You know, I'm from a community of despair, coming from the Bronx. I like to say that I'm from spiked ham and cheese, Bon-Ton potato chips. It was rough and it was real. You know, to come out of that element and do something positive, what I feel is positive with my life, and not trying to destruct or detract from society, to be a contributor, you know, this, you know, I feel that this is something that a person should support.
Right.
It's disheartening, you know, very troubling, just as though the fact that you just see people turning back on something that you're doing positive. And we all have a journey. We all been through some things, and we've experienced some things, you know, and I'm a Black American man, you know, and I'm from the concrete. You know, I've seen things happen, not so good. Most of my friends are in jail. Some of them are never coming home. You know, I've seen plenty of people, you know, lose their life to the struggle. You know, so for me to be here today and actually just put something out there in the universe that's positive, something that, you know, I can create opportunities for others as well as my family benefit from. Why would you come behind somebody like me that's doing something like this? But I see all the people that are negative, you know, detractors of the community become martyrs. You know, so it's something that I just wanted to address tonight. I'm very adamant about making a difference in and just providing a solution with my own plan and own vision. And I'm going to keep pushing regardless of the fact.
Right. I definitely can relate to everything you just spoke on, definitely, because I'm there myself, so I get it. What about you, GPA? What are your thoughts on it?
Let me get the chuckle out the way first. Let me say, brother, I commend you for all of what you're doing. Keep up what you're doing. I can definitely, I was sitting there listening to you. I was with my man, my beagle, and we were sitting and chilling and listening to you. Like, we know all about that. And I add a little something to it. My moniker, my poet moniker, greatest poet alive. Very first thing that I got from my own was, who the fuck do you think he is? Who ain't got this greatest poet alive? Who told him that? He's so conceited, he's so cocky, blah, 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 blah. Ad nauseum in interviews, I've explained that, number one, I love poetry. Number two, I love the poets who practice poetry. So I don't think I'm better than or anything like that. I do, however, believe I am very good and trying to be the best at what I do. Said that over and over again in interviews and print and audio. And I believe in my own estimation and a lot of other people's, I back that up. But Stephen Steele, in my city, we're segregated. We're the most segregated city in the United States, Chicago is. So the poetry and the spoken word is segregated. Southside, where I'm from, is spoken word and it's Black. North, where it's mostly Caucasian people, Europeans, however you give the denotation, they're white. They do the poetry, they read off the paper, so on and so forth. But I'm showing more love and respect and up north than it is here, and I attribute that to, like what King said, I don't want to see you shine. Even though you're shining, even though you've been in the newspaper, you've been on TV, you've been da-da-da-da, forget that, F you, I'm not supporting you. I'm not with that. Your name makes me sick. Da-da-da, forget the body of work. I believe it's just crabs in a barrel. I believe it's just fostered. Yep. And we don't jump on something, we as Black folks, we don't jump on something a lot of times unless somebody says that it's popular.
Exactly.
Unless white folks say, hey, this is the person. And so white folks say, this is the person. Case in point, we wouldn't care about tennis. Venus and Serena got on there, and then started co-signing them like how they was the best. Then we got off. when Tiger, who never wanted to be black, not once has he come out and said, hey, I'm one of y'all. Not once until he got on them people's fields and then said he was the best golfer did we jump on board with him. Even still, he wasn't jumping on board with us. So he took that ass whooping for that woman. He wasn't jumping on with us.
Tell it.
And all y'all who got books, and I'm a cut on off because I'm loquacious, I can go. But all of us who have books, y'all know, man. Y'all know. Y'all can go out of town. I've been like, and you're Brooklyn. Did I say it right? Brooklyn or the Bronx?
Bronx.
King. Were you in New York? Bronx. I went to Brooklyn, right this summer. I performed at a cafe, a brownstone cafe. I walked in, there are a couple of black people who knew me from Facebook who live in New York. They came, some of my peeps who came with me on the road trip. Everybody else was white. And not only were they white, they were Jewish. And not only were they white and Jewish, they were older. They were older folks. And they bought every single book. They bought every single book that I had. I got pictures on my wall with them, on my Facebook wall. They just bought every book I had, told me to come on back, so on and so forth. I go some places here, I can't get one off sometimes. Unless I'm really, like, put a CD and a book together, I can't get one off. It's just crabs in the barrel. I didn't mean to go on like that, y'all, but it's just crabs in the barrel. We don't get behind our own unless somebody else says it's all right or it's cool or what have you. So.
But let's not.
That's what it is.
It's not just someone else because if the white man co-signs a black person, and the thing is that white people make black people hot.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's not other black people that make you hot, that get you popping. It's just that white people invest in our potential.
Mm-hmm.
And they co-sign us and they get behind us.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And our very own will turn their back on us immediately. You know? And the thing is that it's very disheartening. And you know, when you express this kind of truth, you come across to people as being bitter. It's not being bitter. You're calling it how you see it.
Right.
And the thing is that people that are listening right now, there are people listening right now, and furthermore, in the pre-recorded segments when they go back in the archives, they're going to hear us talk. And there's some people that are sitting there with dreams and aspirations. Whether you want to be a rapper, you're a poet, you're an author, and when you put your material out there in the universe, you're going to want that same love, energy, and support reciprocated back to you. This is what people don't understand, because they'll watch us go through this grind, and they think we're just rambling and we're babbling, because it requires a lot of courage to create a body of work and say, you know what, I'm going to put it out there. Because a lot of people talk all day to me. They say, I'm going to write a book. I'm going to do this.
Yep.
Write a manuscript.
Yep.
And nothing ever materializes.
Mm-hmm.
So I commend everyone on the show this evening that has taken that step and putting their work, their vision, and expediting their courage and putting their stuff out there. You know what I'm saying? And it's a lot. It's a lot of work. And so you want to get your work appreciated and acknowledged. You know, and I'm not knocking anyone at all. My book is a nonfiction book. I talk about prevalent issues and matters and challenges that I feel that we all will face, you know what I'm saying, or have faced. I'm not talking about I just came home, I did 20 years, I used to sell drugs, now I'm doing this, and I'm telling my street stories. God bless anyone that has done that. That does nothing for our people. I'm tired of hearing those stories. But I've watched those kind of writers, you know what I'm saying, get all kind of energy. Let's not talk about social media, Twitter, Facebook. I watch people that I personally know pick up those kind of authors that know me and didn't give my book no energy. And I'm like, all
right,
cool. So, and again, it has embittered me, but it has forced me to propel to a position of self-containment where I'm creating my own situation regardless. So I'm going to do what I got to do. You know what I'm saying? Like I talk about all the time, the Matrix. This is the Matrix. People eat with their eyes. They got to see some things. So when you see me, you know what I'm saying, in a $200,000, you know what I'm saying, vehicle, you know what I'm saying, and I got three properties and 10 ventures you know nothing about, and you sit there and you want to buy all my books because you want to sit in my car, I'm going to let you. I'm going to let you. I'm going to do whatever I can to be successful. Listen, I'm going to buy a pickup truck so I don't get pulled over on the highway. Pickup trucks never get pulled over because those are Caucasian vehicles. So I'm going to get in the van. I need to drive and do 120 without getting pulled over too. So I said, I need to get a pickup truck, a dirty pickup truck.
You know what's crazy, though? What's sad is, what is sad is, like, how we're discussing this right now, but when you call people out on it and you mention it, they give you a major attitude. And you're wrong because you pointed it out to them. Like, what is that about? Like, I'm pointing out the obvious. Like, even just the book I just put out, we're giving 30% to charity. You would think people would jump on that alone, you know, because you're giving back. No. You know, you say something to them, and then they look at you side-eye like, you know, like you wrong because you mentioned it. You're not supposed to bring that up.
Nah, people are crazy.
People are crazy. It's ridiculous.
I'm gonna say this to everyone
and it has
shows.
Me so jaded right now. Like, I don't want to deal with people, period.
Let me say this to everyone on the show. Do not do business with anyone that's not doing business with you.
Exactly.
It's real simple with me. If you wanna do business with me, the first thing you need to do is get my book. I've had people hit me with proposals to try to do things with me in terms of business, and they didn't even purchase my book. So why the hell would I do business with you if you can't invest $15? How are we gonna get money? We can't get no money. You're not even willing to invest in a startup course. Startup course with me is $15. It's that simple.
I hear
that. That shows me that you're willing to invest in what I'm doing. I don't do business with no one that's not doing business with me. It can't work. So I say this again. I'll reiterate. Do business with people that are doing business with you. If they're not in business with themselves, they can't do business with you. That's it. It's that simple. And I'm not bitter or hard and biased, but my understanding is real. I just understand people a lot more.
See, I guess it gets to me so much because I'm not a hateful person. Like, I don't hate on people. That's not my nature. You know, and thank God to my mom for that because she taught me to be that way. And she is, like, the most sweetest person you will ever meet. It's like there's no hate in her body at all. You know what I mean? So when I'm giving my all to people, I pick up everybody, and I'm busy. I got stuff going every day, but I never use the excuse that, oh, I'm busy, I ain't have time. I make time for who I want to make time for. So if I don't make time for you, that means I really just don't want to deal with you. You know, but I big up everybody's. You know what I mean? So whoever doing what, you know, I'm
definitely
pushing that.
Do.
So when I'm doing it, and it's like I don't do it to get it back, but I'm just saying when I do it, and that's my nature to do it, and I'm not getting it back, it has me jaded. It makes me feel like I don't want to support nobody. I don't want to push nothing because you're so selfish that you can't even look my way and give the love back. It really has me turned off.
I mean, it's things, and let me just clarify, you know, support looks, it has many different faces. It looks so many different ways. And
I'm talking about what I know, though.
You know, you can purchase a person's product, you know, and then you could just show them love. No, you be on Twitter, we be on Twitter, and people will not retweet. They will not retweet your post.
At all.
They will be on Facebook and won't like your post. They won't share it. That's how corny people are. Yo, I did so much, Miss P, I'm telling you, I used to support people so much on Twitter, and I hope some of them are listening right now because you're super corny. I've supported people on their ventures, and then when my venture came, they fell back. They disappeared. Then there's some people that caught a little bit of momentum, and they feel in themselves, and they faded out. And the thing is that this is what kills our community. Inside the black community, this is why everyone can come inside our communities and infiltrate it. We're losing. When I drive around New York City and all these new businesses coming up in New York City, there's no black proprietors connected to these establishments. You know what the black people are doing? Standing in front of them.
Uh-huh.
That's what they're doing. So it's
yeah.
crazy. It's really crazy. And, so you got to go where the love is,
yep.
you know what I'm saying? And the thing is that sometimes we're doing the right things in the wrong village. You got to go to, you got to find your village. And that's what I'm doing. I'm poking and shifting around, filling myself out for the right villages. Because there are those villages, you know what I'm saying, in our communities that are receptive, that are going to get behind people. So, again, sometimes you're doing the right things in the wrong village.
Well, I want to give Valencia, she's been trying to come in. Real quick, V.
Well, real quick, I just want to say, you know, I honestly and truly feel everything that everybody was saying. And this is a real, like this is tough for me because I just finished posting, like, on Facebook the other day. You know, I find it funny that I didn't care if I sold just one book. You know, the fact that I did it was enough for me. But I found it funny that there were so many people out there that say that they have your back, but they're the last people to actually pick up a book. You know, I have, you know,
that's
not
right.
to call my family out or whatever, but when it comes down to it, I found out, you know, I made sure I got in touch with all my family to make sure that, you know, I'm coming out with a book or whatever. Oh, I'm going to get it. Come to find out, I can name on one hand how many of my actual family members actually got the book. And people are so selfish
gosh.
That they expect so much stuff for free. Oh, yeah, I got more. I get more support from complete strangers.
Oh, we could go on about that all day. You have no idea.
Right.
No
you
idea.
Know, I got support from complete strangers that, honestly and truly, you know, I didn't know them from Adam
wow.
or Eve, but, you know, they were there
oh,
for
God.
Me. They supported
wow.
me. They it didn't take nothing but 2 seconds to sit there and say to like a post, and you know everybody on your page gonna see that post that you like. But people
exactly.
don't even take the time out to do that. So when it comes down to and then for the kind of community that I live in, if you're not rapping, they're not talking about you. And I had to actually address that because it was just like, why do I have to rap in order for y'all to hear what I'm saying? Half these rappers ain't even talking about anything that they've actually been through themselves, just what they see on the streets. And they don't give back to it, so what does it matter? You know, and I just finished talking to an author today that said he was coming back to the town. It's Hopkinsville, Kentucky. If you look it on the map, you're just like, where? And you just say, oh, close to Tennessee. And it was so
wow.
funny because he got in touch with the newspaper here, and he was like, you know, I'm coming back. I'm going to do a book signing. All charities, all proceeds are going to go to the community. They wrote him back and told him that's not newsworthy. But if you look at, you turn the page, you see every day where a Caucasian may be doing a book signing at the library or something. And it's all, it's a whole page of it. And it's just like,
yeah.
how does that make any sense? That's not the same thing, but it's not newsworthy because, as I said, we're not standing behind each other.
Wow.
We're not standing behind each other to show that it's news or to show that it's something that we want to hear or something that we want to read. And, you know, it is kind of discouraging because you got 300, 400, 500 friends on your Facebook page and maybe five of them would like anything that you say, you know, about your book or about what you're doing. But let you say something negative on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever it may be, and you'll have everybody and their mama retweeting you, commenting, and some of the people,
all day.
What I've learned is to stop really depending on people that I know because, honestly, the people that
me
I associate
too.
With, some a lot of them are there just to say, I knew her when. I don't want those
exactly.
people in my corner. Don't be there to say, you
yep.
knew me when she was a child
said,
and she was scraping up her knee. What does that matter to me if you're not supporting me now?
Right.
You know.
I just want to say this quickly because we're running down on time, so I just want to say this, sorry, V, quickly, because we have to move on to the last segment of the show. But I just want to say, within the past 2 weeks, and I tweeted this and I put it on Facebook, I have bought 4 books, 2 bracelet sets, candles, lotions, and everything under the sun just in the last 2 weeks. Things that I can't really use or get to right now, especially the books, I really don't have time to just sit down and read a book. But I just purchased 4 books. For the support, because that's how I do. I know I can't get to it and read it right now. So if somebody comes to me like, oh, I don't have time, I don't want to hear that. I'm turned off. You turn me off instantly. I don't want to hear you didn't have time. You didn't support, period. You purchase that book, and when you have time, you'll go and read it. You know
exactly.
what I mean? So
right.
I don't want to hear your excuses for why you couldn't support. You can't buy an e-copy that's $2.99? Really? You can't buy a paperback that's $7.99, and 30% of that is going to charity. You know what I mean? So when I hear their excuses, I'm immediately turned off. And that's when I just look at people. I say, I see you for what you are. I'll smile at you all day, but you won't get nothing much more from me than that. So I'm learning how to shut it off. Like, I'll be cool with you, but I shut you down. I don't want to be bothered.
Exactly.
All right. Man, we can go in. We need like 4 hours. We're going to have to definitely do a part two. I'm telling you.
I wanted to get you. PD, I wanted to get you. I got to get you. I got to get you, PD.
Okay.
On Twitter. I'm looking at the Twitter right now. I said, sister, where can I get the book besides Amazon? Because Amazon won't give you all the paper. Do you have another website that I could go and buy via PayPal?
Okay. Wait. Hold on. You want to get me? I'm going to get you back. I keep posting everywhere you can get the book. It's on Smashwords, and it's on Barnes and Noble. I've been posting it, so when people, I mean, not you personally, but when people come and you're like, oh, where can I get the book? It's like, okay, how many times have I posted it? You're not paying me no attention, right?
I missed that. I tell you what, I got my laptop in front of me. I'm going right now.
I love it. That's all right, because once the show is over, I'm going on for you too. I haven't gotten to you yet, but I'm going on for you too.
That's all right.
And Mr. Al King, you know, he sent me a copy, a complimentary copy, which I love you and thank you so much for, Mr. Al King.
Yeah, but I've sent out many complimentary copies, and the thing is, that's how I am. I want people to get my book, and I want it to circulate. It's not, you know, of course I want to sell books, but the thing is that I've sent people complimentary books, like I shared with you, that they never read it, which is a slap in the face. It's like, you serious?
Right.
Well, I did.
So, yeah, you did, and I told you I appreciate it because you actually bounced things back at me. There's people that I sent my book, a physical copy of my book, and never read it. It's like, you can't be serious. You can't be.
Okay, yeah, I have to say this real quick. Like, on those
real
physical
quick
copies, like, I feel that 100% because I've given people free copies. And how hard is it to say, oh, this is a good book review? You know, they don't understand how far a review goes. I've had people come up to me and tell me, well, I'm going to check you out on Amazon, see how the reviews go, and I got you. And it's just like, wow, people do that? You know, and it's just like, and people don't invest in it. They don't understand how far a review, a free copy, and then a free review. It goes hand in hand. It costs you nothing.
I know that's right. That's why my next book is going to be CD, because I don't want nobody having excuse why you can't sit down. You better pop it in your car while you're driving to work. That's what I'm talking about. Now tell me you didn't have time. I don't want to hear that. But we're going to keep it moving, guys, because we have got to get to the big part of the night, which is the presidential election.
That's not a big part of the night. Wait a minute.
That's not what it is. You getting at me tonight.
Make sure you guys call us up, 646-478-3599. This is the PD Roundtable. It is live, and we are, you know, just getting it in. It's a lot of good information going out. Feelings are going. Everybody is putting it out there, so give us a call. Let us know how you feel. So.
That's right. Our guest panel tonight, we have Mr. Al King of Let It Be Known. We have GPA, which stands for Greatest Poet Alive, for his books, The Mind of the Poetic Unsub and the Book of 24 Orgasms. And we have on the line Miss Felicia, who has her book out called Timeless Clock. You guys better check them out. You better support these people or else. Or PD or Miss PD is coming at you. Look, I've been chill. I've been real chill, but I can get nasty.
Oh,
so don't support my people, and it's going to get nasty.
Here Here we go.
All right, guys, what are your thoughts? Presidential election, the last debate was last night. It went down. And, you know, President Obama just kind of like, he swept Romney under the rug. He called him out on everything. What did you guys think about the debate last night?
Yeah, his demeanor, his posture was impeccable.
What? Yes. Yeah.
I'm going to say this about the debate. Like, I was watching it, and it just made me so proud that that was my president. Because and just his facial expressions, like, he just wanted to slap him, like, really, you can't even remember what you said 2 sentences ago? And you gonna
yes.
tell me what I've said? And I just love how he was calling him out on everything and how
everything.
Especially people that are voting for Romney, pay attention to who you're voting for. If somebody can't sit there and say or even back up the statements of what they proposed to do, I heard him a lot saying, we got steps for this, we got steps for that, and he never once went into what his steps were. He just made a whole lot of false promises and made sure to call out, well, the president said he was going to do this in the such time. He didn't do it. Well, guess what?
Right.
It's a whole lot more messed up than just, I can't jump in and fix this, the steps to everything. And he would just really didn't want to face that. I honestly believe if he was in the White House, he'd probably just move right back on out.
And you, oh, wow.
And
how
right.
is he
going to
call out the president? How is he going to call out the president on what he did or didn't do when you're not offering anything? You're not offering any solutions at all, but you're going to call somebody else out on it. If you're going to call him out, say, if I was president, these are the specific steps I'm going to take to change this, this, or that. He hasn't done that. He talks in circles. He gets around everything.
And
Obama was dead in his
lot.
Face with everything. Exactly.
Yeah, I get different.
He looked hurt last night, though. He looked hurt. Like, he knew he lost. He really did.
Yeah.
What do you fellas think about it? Did you guys get a chance to watch it?
This thing has been over since the second debate. Everybody got on the president because the president, they say the first time he was real, you know, he was demure, he didn't really kill him. That's because he was playing down to the level of his competition. Romney is just a dude with he has some paper. He's a handsome guy according to their standards. So they sent him on out there. Maybe he can compete or what have you. But when the president got on this thing, start battling him, hit him with the retorts, hit him with the one-liners, this dude is overmatched. I mean, he's clearly overmatched. And the president, despite what they say, what the detractors are going to say, not because they have any validity to him, but because of the color of his skin, his record speaks for himself. He's doing what nobody else could do, dealing with terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
He has created a job. He is trying to give health care. Because anybody who wants health insurance going to the hospital, y'all know it's a real arduous task trying to get taken care of, right? So he's trying to do that. So, I mean, come on, man. This dude, he should tap out now. Because it's going to be ugly November 4th. It's going to be ugly. He should tap out right now. Because he's done. Like
what state was that? What state was that? They're reporting that Romney bought voting polls. Did you guys hear about that?
Missouri. That was his. If I'm not mistaken, I want to say it was Missouri, his own governing state, that he had investments in the polls.
Wow.
Right.
I know he's been spreading the propaganda about felons. And I want to say this real quick to anybody who has been in trouble: check the state's regulations as far as voting, because Illinois, where I'm at, is one of 7 states, whereas so long as you aren't incarcerated, even if you've got a felony or you're on probation or parole, as long as you aren't incarcerated, you can vote. So check that, because they've been spreading propaganda that they say felons can't vote, and that's not true. So you need to check into that.
Wow.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put a quick clip real quick, just so that the listeners can understand what we're trying to say about, you know, the governor. So
I want to make sure we get that for the record, because it took the president 14 days before he called the attack in Benghazi an act of terror.
Get the transcript.
He did, in fact, sir. So let me call it an act of terror.
Can you say that a little louder, Candy?
He did call it an act of terror.
See what I'm saying? So first of all, this man, everything that comes out of his mouth, he's stuttering. That's one knock that I have. He's stuttering on everything that comes out. Then the next thing he says is, I have a five-step plan. Everything is he counting down. I got one, we're going to do this, or whatever he said. He got a five-step plan for everything he wants to do. Then everything he wants to do, I'm going to do this on day one. Obama keeps telling me your math is not adding up. There's no way you can do all this stuff and not, you know, tax the middle class. And like Valencia said, come on now, you got to understand who you're voting for. This dude, everything he comes out of his mouth is a lie.
And
this is insane.
He's
dialing
through this whole process. Like he has his presidential plan written on a napkin somewhere.
Right.
Just like as he goes along.
Exactly.
Yeah. I will say this about all those voting, I just want to put this out there for everybody. I don't care, you know, as far as every vote counts. I'm not, you know, who you vote for, that's on you. But make sure, and I've seen this on a post today on Facebook, make sure that when you vote, you verify who you vote for, because some people are walking away from the polls and not verifying who they're voting for, so the votes aren't going through.
Yeah, I saw that too, V. Yeah, I saw that too. So we got to pay attention.
If they can do it for what they did to Malcolm X, the movie, they'll definitely do it for the presidential election. So, yeah, be cognizant.
I have a question for everyone on the panel right now. If you were running for president and you were elected, starting at the top, what would be your first order? What would be the first type of bill, or what would be the first order of business for you if you were in office? So I'm going to start with GPA. What's first on your presidential agenda?
First thing on my presidential agenda would be the stimulation of the economy, creating jobs, making sure we keep all the industry. It isn't going out of the country. You know, when you call on the phone and you're listening to people who can barely speak English, we could have all those call centers and things like that here. That's what I would do, because the money is, I really believe, is the biggest thing, because that here in my city where they were doing a lot of murders, I think the violence relates to the lack of funds, because when we don't have paper, those of us who don't know how to occupy our minds, we don't have paper, we do other stuff. So that would be my first thing, creating jobs.
All
right. Make sure the economy's right.
I like that.
Good stuff.
Al King?
I think I would empower the U.S. economy more. You know, I don't want to sound crazy when I say this. I just think, you know, I'm not trying to be funny when I say this, guys. But the strongest this country was back in the 80s when drugs were insane. I think this is a drug-dealing country. Unfortunately, it's ran by drugs. I'm not saying that I would put a whole bunch of drugs on the street. I'm not saying that at all. But we need to find a way to just create money here. The strongest asset I think we have is Apple. And just outsourcing all our opportunities in China. China
That's
is
true.
Running the planet right now.
Yeah.
Everything created here, every opportunity that's created here is from a product that was produced over there. So everything is made in China. So, you know, the first thing I would do, I would have to come up with something that would actually construct the U.S. economy in a better way. You know, we're not just getting the big dollars over here. And all these people that are getting all this money, they're not spending the money here. They have offshore accounts, and they're spending the money in other continents. That's what people don't realize as well. The rich are not putting the money back into the United States. That's my take.
Okay.
All right. Lady President, how would you conduct your
President V.
I would have to go with that. It would have to be my first move would be creating jobs, but also using the sources that we got here to create those jobs. There's so much, instead of you know, there's like I have a friend whose husband's overseas working. And, you know, why can't – there's a lot of jobs going overseas. Why can't we keep them here? Why can't we outsource what we got here? There's oil here. We just – and there's something they said in the debate, you know, what does America do for the world? My first response was, why is America Captain Save-A-Ho? Because we're not right. taking care of our own. So why can't we, you know, create those jobs and opportunities? Like he said, why can't we have the call centers here instead of having to go – call somebody that we can't understand, that we're struggling, and have them get attitudes anyway because of the lack of communication. So why is it so hard to, you know, build up those call centers here? It's something simple, too. Call centers. They're very simple. They're not hard to build up, and we can generate those jobs here. So I think, my first move would be, you know, just creating those jobs. It takes money to make money. Well, we ain't putting the money back into America. We're putting it everywhere else. So, you know, that's how we would deplete the debt, it's very big, but the debt that we're in, we wouldn't have to be in if we would just use what we got over here instead of trying to hold out and save what we got here to the very last minute, basically when we've used everything that's over there.
Well, I want to know, do you guys think, you know, all the money we're spending on NASA going, you know, into outer space and exploring, do you really think that's necessary?
No.
For the world? I don't either. We're here on this planet, like, why are we really trying to explore whatever else is out there? You know what I mean? And I think that's a lot of money wasted in the world.
And
I don't understand a lot
of that money in the inner city, though. That's where.
That's what I'm saying. It's like,
if you go in certain parts, you know, for example, like over here, you know, on the northern side, on the east coast, if you go inside, let's say, Paterson, New Jersey, for example, that place looks like it's like 1982. There's a lot of cities like that, totally behind. We can go to North Carolina. We can go to Durham. Walk around in Durham. Durham is like, it looked like it's about 1985 out there.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're living so behind, you know, inside American soil. They need to spend a lot of this money inside the inner city. You know, the inner cities are horrible, totally behind, totally.
I just don't understand how you can conjure up money, you know, to go into outer space, something that's not even relatable here. Like, how do you find the money for that? And what is the purpose of that? When all of that money, those billions of dollars, can be spent right here, like you said, fixing up this planet. We too busy trying to explore other planets. For what? White people are already living out there. I mean, I know why they're doing it. They already living out there on the space stations. You know what I mean? But to me, I think that's where a lot of money is wasted. I don't understand the logic of that at all. All the billions of dollars being spent going into space. I don't understand it.
So you don't think it's a good idea to explore possibilities just in case if this planet decides to, become inhabitable or whatever like that, that we might have to come up with a plan to get the hell off this rock.
Okay, if this world is supposed to be destroyed, we're supposed to be destroyed with it.
Right.
There's different planets for a reason. So, and you got to keep it all the way real. If that was to happen, they said a meteorite is about to hit Earth, you know, we're all, you know, we're going to die, we need to get off this planet. You really think they taking you? For real?
I mean, keep it all the way real.
Do you really think they keeping you?
They're not taking you.
They're not taking Al, they're not taking GPA, and they're not taking Valencia.
I understand that, but I think you have to still explore the imagination of being able to go to another planet because...
No.
Nah.
Come on, Al.
That right there, I have to agree with her. I have to agree with PD because that, looking at it that way, basically we're waiting to throw Earth away. Instead of investing into it, we're just going to let it deplete itself and just move. Come on now. That's not the way to do it. If we're going to, they're exploring other planets because eventually they're saying that Earth is going to be uninhabited. You know, it's not going. We're not going to be able to live here. And she said, they're not looking to take us. They're going to be looking to take the ones that they feel make a difference and they feel can prosper. And I promise you, most of this Earth will not be on that next planet.
Exactly.
Yeah, but it's not all about a dying planet, though. You know what I'm saying? It's about, you know, finding different minerals out there. Who knows what you can find out there if you do some exploration. It's the same thing
if
with
they haven't found
exploring.
It by now.
Thank you. No,
it takes time.
I still don't agree. I see what you're saying, Black, but I don't agree.
Hey, I think you have to. You can't. It's like, okay, you can't say we're not going to explore beyond Earth.
They done been to Mars. They done been to Mars and got the rover and all that, and still
maybe it's my
nothing.
Imagination because I'm an artist and I, the way I think about beyond this planet.
We all artists. We all
create. Yeah, but not everybody thinks. But not everybody thinks the same way though. Not everybody can reach far out like that. You know what I mean?
That's
so,
true.
I just think
I get
that,
where you going, Black, but
right. I don't know.
Nah.
That's your artist.
You can't stop it. You just can't. I don't know. Never know.
I get what he's saying, but I feel like when it comes down to America, they're trying to compete with China and stuff, and it's just like you can't compete with somebody that's already ahead of us. We gotta build ourselves up instead of looking at the next. And what we're trying to do is get there first, basically that way we can make the first call. How's that helping us out if we haven't gotten ourselves together? That's like spending money on a luxury car and you rent. You just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. I do understand. I just think that, I don't know, I just think it's important to look beyond a little bit.
Well, it looks like we have another caller. Let's bring them in real quick and see what they have to say on the subject.
All right.
Hello, you're on the line with PG Radio.
Family.
What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is O'Head calling from Philly.
Uh-oh.
O'Head. Hello, hello.
O'Head, what's
Welcome
going
to
on?
The show tonight.
Greetings. Great show. Great show tonight.
Thank you. What would you like to chime in on?
Absolutely. I just I wanted to kind of follow up to the subject you guys were talking about in terms of, deep space and space exploration and just kind of bring a little clarity to the subject I'm kind of familiar with and kind of do a lot of research on, just to say that the reason that they're doing this space exploration is not so much to explore the world. It's because they got to get off the planet. Earth is not going anywhere. It's just becoming a black planet. So we good. Yeah, this is not about the transformation that we're looking for. We've been waiting for as the people is coming because it's about consciousness. What we have now on this radio show, what you guys are talking about is consciousness. Everybody's on point. Everybody here is awake and sees that it's a time of change. It's not about promoting change. It's just time for change. If you're sitting at a dinner table, and you have feasted for a long time, you're full. It's time to get up and move on. And now it's our time to feast. The problem with the mass of the black people is that we just don't realize it. We're still waiting on him to feed us instead of realizing that we can actually feed ourselves now. We can unplug from all the nonsense and start dealing with the facts that you guys spoke about, for this last hour and a half, about, self-reliance. You know what I mean? Self-worth, self-value, taking charge of your destiny. Okay? Things that happen in your life. You know what I mean? Recognize that if life is a certain level or you see yourself a certain level, you can only rise to that level. Okay? You see yourself at the bottom, at low frequency, that's the level you're going to operate on. You're going to stay on that level. So when you see them exploring deep space, it's not because they want to see how far the universe is. They got to look for a new home. Okay, and I'm just trying to say this from a non-scientific level, because I can get into the metaphysics of it, you know, and the multi-dimensioned and deep space scientific level. Well, we don't need to go there. Just the fact is they have to find a better way of doing what they were doing. Obviously, because you look at what's happening with the vote. You look at what's happening with Obama being there. We are in a transition, and it's a conscious transition. That's all. We're waking up. We've been asleep a long time, and we're moving forward, and they can't stop it. And they're terrified. The only card you can play is Romney. That's your best
exactly.
card.
Exactly. Exactly.
Okay? And you got to look at them having a stage full of them charlatans. I mean, they had all of them. They threw a couple of, you know, brothers up in there, Kane or whoever else, to try to, you know, make it seem like it was a fair situation.
Mm-hmm.
But, so they have ran their course. I mean, they've had their Bushes in there and their Reagans in there and everybody else you name, and they cannot still achieve their goal, which is keeping us down, because, you know, cream got to rise to the top. That's just the clarity of it. They can call a research all they want, and they can say they're discovering this planet and all that. They ain't doing none of that. It's about them trying to survive this thing.
Mm.
Okay. And in a few years, we'll be where we need to be.
What? There you go. What was that, Valencia?
I did a rap on that.
I said, there you go. Point blank period.
Pretty much. Point blank. Finito. I really enjoyed this show tonight.
We got about 20 minutes left.
Yeah. We're going to open this up real quick. We got 20 minutes.
Yeah.
We're going to open the floor. All right, we're giving it to you guys. What do you want to go in on?
I just want to say one last thing. I just want to say, just to ride off the presidential, I just want to say one last thing that I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
Even people that have been Republicans before are not voting Republican. They're not voting Democrat. They're voting liberal. And I found it so funny that here it is, Republicans have put this man in the race, and they're not. Mm-hmm. They're just like they've even recognized that they've made a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So
turned off.
All the Republicans need to take that into consideration, that they don't even want to stand behind this man. So why should everybody else?
Good stuff right there.
Okay. I mean, it's out there. It's true.
Yeah.
I've talked to Republicans myself. My sister is a Republican, so you think about how those conversations go.
Uh-oh.
And it comes down to it. She's even said herself, I'm not voting for neither one of them. I'm voting, but I don't like Romney.
Mm-hmm.
And it's coming from a Republican. It's just like, there you go. Some Republicans, they can't even stand behind the person that's supposed to represent them, so why should everybody else?
That's deep right there,
that's
though.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely true. Anybody got any topics they want to bust out real quick?
Any thoughts? Any violations going on with you?
Uh-oh.
Al, come on, Al. I know you got a violation. GPA.
No,
come
I do. In terms of the lesson, I just want to say, just to the black community that's listening, because I hear a lot of people say, you know, just because he's black, that doesn't mean I should vote for him. And I kind of disagree, because white people vote for the white person just because they're white. They do it. So why can't we be true?
I mean, yeah, they do, but I don't agree with that. Like, I'm not voting because he's black. I'm voting because I think
he's better. I'm not doing that as well, but I think that it's nothing wrong if someone did do that. I don't think it's nothing wrong. That's the point I want to make.
All right, who got the cop cars going in the background?
Who
getting pulled over on PD radio?
Who rocking the thing?
Are you getting busted, V?
Oh, man.
On
that. Oh, Poppy, I like that for real? No.
radio. We hear it going down.
Step outside. Got to come. Step back inside. Step back inside. That ain't nothing to do with me.
Had to get you. Had to get you. All right, guys. Well, you know, I enjoy myself tonight. I had a wonderful time. You guys are awesome. You gave a lot of insight. Very intelligent. V, I want to say thank you for stepping in, you know, on the woman's point of view tonight. You really came through. I appreciate you, and thank you very much for that.
Anytime. Anytime.
We lost her. I thought we lost you. See, she got pulled over, y'all. They took her in.
Get it together.
Get it together. All right.
Fine.
And that's all I had to say about that. GPA.
Yeah.
Quickly, let the listeners know about your books and what you have coming up next. Let us know.
Okay. No doubt. One of the things I wanted to speak upon is I've secured an audition successfully for the Star TV series Boss. I got the notification today. So I'll be going down and doing that thing. I got the Mind of a Poet, a Gun Sub out right now. I'm the Mall Storytelling Champion. I'm sure King has heard of that now because it's based in New York. So currently I'm the Mall Storytelling Champion. And I'll compete for the Grand Championship in February.
Okay.
And then in May, I bring out the Last of the Lust series, Revenge of the Orgasm. It's a autobiographical look at my life and my sexual adventures. So, in poetry form. So.
You said sexual addiction?
No, adventures. You know, I've been fortunate enough.
Caught my ear off guard. I was like, whoa, hold on.
Yeah.
All right. Congratulations on all you got going on, GPA.
That's right.
You know,
Thank you.
Yeah, keep us in the know, PD Radio, you know. Let us know what's going down as it's going down so we can, you know, beat you up on that.
Don't say that. We tweet each other every day, and Black is on my page, so don't even act like
I know it.
Uh-huh. You know I'm selfish. You know I don't be looking. I'm just, you know I don't support. Mr. Al King. Al, what you got going on? Tell us a little bit about your book, how we can find it. What's going on with you?
Yeah, my debut book, Let It Be Known, The Al King Point of View, is available on my website, thealkingpointofview.com. I'm really pleased with how people are receiving the book, the message, the whole entire shebang that I've delivered.
Mm-hmm.
That was crazy old school just now. I just said shebang. That just came to
mind. I tried to let you ride with it, Al.
But I'm very
bang.
The energy around the book. I'm in the process right now of coordinating. I have a venue in mind that I'll be launching a roundtable discussions with Al King. So I definitely, everyone that's on the show this evening, we'll talk about that. I want to bring some good people together, do something different and fresh at a Manhattan venue and bring people together. I'm going to do them weekly. Nice, comfortable, nice chop-up sessions, talk about healthy dialogue, prevalent issues, you know, motivate, empower, and inspire some people with a good platform. So I'm working on that and tightening up the outline. I'm looking to launch that come January. I've also started writing the follow-up to Let It Be Known, and I'm also writing a screenplay for it. And all of this I'm funding myself. Yeah,
okay.
I'm writing a screenplay for Let It Be Known. So
wow.
I'm not in New York right now. I'm in the honeycomb hideout, creative hideout. I'm formulating. So I put myself in a position where a platform of solitude. Just to, I've been writing for the past month going in, so I'm putting that together, and you know I plan on just releasing and attacking these lanes when it comes to 2013.
Wow.
That's my mission.
That is awesome. Okay.
Sounds good.
Wow.
Okay.
Doing big things. Big things. I love it. I can't wait for that roundtable discussion.
Oh, yeah.
I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I can't wait.
Got to keep us up on that. Yeah. That's needed.
Absolutely.
Very much needed. So I'm ready for that. Okay. Miss Valencia, darling.
Yes,
tell us a little
yes.
bit about your book, Timeless Clock. Let us know where we can get it at. And what's coming up next for you?
Timeless Clock is out there. It's poetry about everything. There's nothing that you can't think in your mind that's not in this book. And it's raw, uncut, and just sign, seal, deliver, point blank, period, in your face.
I like it.
just right there. And it's available on Amazon for paperback and anywhere you can get an e-book copy, available, Smashwords, Barnes & Noble, Kindle, if you got it to download. I don't care if you got your phone. You can download the app on your phone and you can get the book.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm working on right now is another poetry book. Actually, I have two things in the making, but the poetry book
okay.
is what I really want to focus on. It's called For My Cinderellas. And it's not just, it's particularly from for the ladies, but it's not something that men can't pick up and read and learn our perspective on a whole lot of things. So that's what I got going on in the mix right now.
Yeah, I look forward to that. I remember when you mentioned it before, I said that's going to be a good read right there.
Yeah.
I'm ready for that. All right.
Love it.
All right. Oh, hey, thanks for calling in. Appreciate that.
Absolutely.
You have any closing words you have for us tonight, Ohead?
Oh, no, it was just great hearing our people do positive and powerful things and take the lead on where we see the world as it needs to be. And I myself, at this point, I'm just continue to be a student of history and try to find out, you know, what we were doing, you know, prior to this enslavement, you know, and we've always been great, you know, the reason we're where we are, not because the white man is so great, is because we fell. We fell off our game. And now we're getting back on our game. And my thing is to ignite and force that. Because everybody up on the radio right now, I'm listening to, is weaponized. We're taking the information and we put it in a situation where we can use it. And what we as black people have to realize is that we have the stuff already on board. We just have to weaponize it. So that's so resourceful, reliable, believe in what we're doing. And sometimes you don't have to hear somebody say you're doing good. Just know you're doing good.
Exactly.
You are doing, if you are doing good, it's going to get done. Just believe in that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the concept of your reality will change right in front of you. You know, so I'm an enforcer of those practices and policies. And when I hear ignorance come out and mind control try to take over and tear us from that, I'm the agent that can destroy that. And I have the facts and the knowledge and the wisdom to bring correction, which will allow us to move forward. That's what I do.
All right, good stuff right there.
Okay.
Very good advice. Yes, yes, yes. You guys heard it here from Ohead. He's schooling
That's
us, y'all.
PD Radio.
PD Radio.
PD Radio.
GPA. Yes, GPA, Al King, Valencia, Ohead.
Thank you so much
for being on the show tonight with your insight,
you.
Your wisdom. We truly appreciate you guys. And we definitely have to do this again. You already know.
You know it.
It's going down again.
That's what's up.
So I want to thank you. We love you guys. You're the best.
That's love.
And yeah, thanks for being on TV.
Love.
You guys have a good night. We
you
are
too.
Signing off.
Blessings. Peace and love.
Appreciate you. Good night.
That's right.
Blessings.
All right.
PD Radio, we are signing off for the night. I hope you guys enjoy the show tonight. Tonight we discuss relationships, we discuss lack of community support, and we talked about the presidential election. It was a very good show. I hope you guys enjoy it. Please go back and check the archives of our past show. And we're out. PD Radio.